Item 9, Bluff Point Holdings. Mr. Stagg, you're back up again.
Yeah, go first, Jim. I'm going to hand you a packet of information.
It should be right at the beginning.
These are letters of both opposition and support that we received since the end of last week. So it's too late to get in the book. Typically, it should give you something about in the book. It's blue. Unfortunately, this last one just came in this morning.
What'd you do, run out of blue paper?
Well, I didn't make the copies first. I got put on white. That is a protest. This is a protest. The rest of these are letters of support or letters from the active match.
That's fine. Just leave them there. We'll get them distributed. Thank you.
Application of Bluff Point Holdings LLC requesting to lease up to 250 acres of oyster planting ground within the Barnes Creek. We extend kind of out the mouth of Barnes Creek. It is located in Northumberland County. The application has been protested by a number of residents, some additional leaseholders of oyster ground, and the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. The application is located, as it says, at the mouth and out of Barnes Creek, Indian Creek to the west. This area is known as the Bluff Point Neck in Northumberland County. Bluff Point Holdings LLC owns a large parcel of land to the north of the application. It has applied for the lease as shown here as 2011-067. Graphic map. This is the same depiction, a little bit closer view from aerial photography. The adjoining leases, many of these leases are actually held currently by Bluff Point, not all of them. This one is not this one, but a number of these up in this area and these to the west. They obtain those by transfer from other leaseholders. In the last 2 years. At that time, this is an issue that was raised in some of the protestants, correspondence including the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. There was a question as to whether Bluff Point Holdings LLC is a legal entity that can have oyster ground in Virginia. And at the time of transferring the leases, which we typically do when we see companies or LLCs, we require that they either provide us with a signed affidavit that they are chartered legally to hold oyster ground in Virginia, or actually show us their charter papers that they had to file with the state corporation. In this instance, during the transfer process, we requested that. They did provide us with an affidavit indicating that they did meet the sections of the code. Because the issue was raised again after this application, we requested some additional information in the Virginia packet that an attorney who helped them, I think with some of their legal organization, indicated that they did amend their charter to include part of what the company can do is oyster business. And that's what the code basically says, is the company has to be a Virginia corporation or at least 60% owned by Virginians, and that it must be at least somewhere, and it doesn't say it specifically in code, but it says they have to be chartered. Doesn't say they have to exclusively be just for oysters. So we have always interpreted that to mean that a company or a corporation could do multiple things. But if their charter included shellfish business or propagation of shellfish, that that met the requirements provided. And therefore, we move forward with this based on both the affidavit and the documents provided. So that addresses that issue. Again, this is Barnes Creek. This is the navigation chart. As you will know, it is pretty shallow at the mouth, even more shallow here than it is once you enter in Barnes Creek proper. There is a slightly deeper area right in the center of about 5 feet, but this whole area has a lot of shoaling. It's a sandy, pretty dynamic at this point. It's washing away over the years and moving. A lot of sand coming around the point. Again, Rough Point owns the property to the north, and the application would encompass most of what's left of Barnes Creek is not planned. In order to hopefully aid the commission in making a decision today and not have to rehear this again in a couple of months, we determined that the best approach for this application, even though it was protested pretty extensively as soon as the ad ran in the newspaper and it has been properly noticed, per the code, that we would survey the basic alignment of what they asked for, stake it in the field, so that we wouldn't bring it to you without surveying it in the field, and you make an action, and then we survey it, and get new protests based on staking it. The code does say that we cannot assign ground for 30 days after the plat is approved by the chief engineer, which means we have to survey it in order for the plat to get made. To be correct, we did do that. I approved this plat administratively from that perspective of the code so that it could be assigned more than 30 days ago. So we believe that all proper notice has been done, the ground's been staked in the field. More than 30 days has transpired since I approved this configuration as potentially leasable, and therefore it's subject to whatever commission action. But you could approve this, you could deny it, you could approve it in some modified form, and we would have to resurvey it. A smaller area. This is the configuration basically they asked for. This is what we staked in the field, and this is what the plat would look like if approved configuration. Again, there is a lease donut hole in the center that's a different leasehold that is not blocked for. Having said that, move on to the objections and the support. We did receive a number of letters in objection. The names are listed in your evaluation. They came in pretty quickly after we received the application and started the advertising. Some of the people purported to live along Barnes Creek. There were a couple of leaseholders who also objected, who have worshiped the ground in the area. And we believe some of the other protestants are just residents somewhere in other areas of the project. Has been tied in a lot of the protest letters to the proposed upland development. And while it's, we don't believe it's the commission's jurisdiction to tie the two together, you will see in a lot of the protest letters a direct link between the applicants seeking of approval for an upland development within the county with this project. The one tie that we believe is at least germane is that people have said they believe the only reason that Bluff Point is applying for this ground is because they will want to dredge in the future up Barnes Creek to the development to a potential marina that might be constructed adjacent to or within actually an upland marina carved out of the upland. Which there is a plan, and we've seen it. Some of the opposition may show you some more of it today. That does promulgate that possibility if this development is built out, approved, to put a marina in, and it would require a dredge channel, probably, as you saw in the chart. It's very shallow to get in and out of this creek. And the opposition says, you know, why would we lease ground that then we would allow people to dredge through? Well, we don't have any pending application for dredging. We have seen a conceptual plan that it might be possible. that would require a whole separate permit process, the joint permit application, that would require a whole separate public interest review. The commission would then get to look at it if it was protested at that point as to whether it was in the public interest to allow the dredging. We would look at all the impacts related to dredging, including a marina associated with it, and whether that would cause a health department condemnation of shellfish areas adjacent, whether that would be appropriate. That said, that kind of addresses that issue the best we can at staff. The applicant did fill out the oyster use plan that we require every oyster ground applicant to fill out for regular oyster ground, which is basically a non-binding questionnaire that asks, what do you plan to do with the ground? Code of Virginia says the only reason to lease oyster ground by the state is to propagate shellfish. So we ask that those questions on the questionnaire. Are you going to do traditional on bottom? You can use cages, floats. You know, what do you propose to do? The applicant has indicated that their proposed use for this ground and the other grounds they already have is for aquaculture, both on bottom, cage aquaculture, potentially float aquaculture, which of course would require separate permitting. But as you know, under current regulations, people are allowed to do cage aquaculture on a lease, no more than 12 inches off the bottom, no additional permitting. The regulation does have restrictions in navigation and other aspects of using cages, but once you get the lease, you do have the right to do that subject to those regulations and requirements. We also received a letter after the first round of letters that's noted in the first paragraph of the issue section from the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. It was signed by one of their Virginia senior attorneys, Margaret Sanner, and also Tommy Leggett, who works with the Bay Foundation as a restoration and fisheries scientist. They expressed general concerns by the foundation about a number of the issues I already raised, particularly the one about the corporation being legally able to hold ground. Their view was that Bluff Point Holdings LLC was a real estate company and should not be allowed to lease oyster ground. We did respond to that letter and a subsequent letter that they sent us after that, still questioning that. And between those two letters is when we requested from Bluff Point additional information beyond the affidavit that they had provided prior. And that's when they provided us with the additional information for the amending of their charter and the legal interpretation by their attorney. That's the qualification that we have to do as well. We kind of got a second round of letters, some from a few from the same people that had written us the first letters. We really have not received until just this week any additional objections when the ground was actually surveyed. I do have the surveyor here who surveyed the ground. I believe he did tell me that he had at least contact with one person who lived right on the creek and came out while they were surveying and questioned, you know, what we were doing. Was this the Bluff Point application? He said yes. And he said, well, you have any questions or objections? He said, no, I'm okay with it. So he was already on the creek. He was not one of the people, I think, who wrote the letters and objections. I think I've covered kind of generally in your packet, and I don't want to make the case any longer than it has to be. It's pretty well documented in people's letters what their objections are. A lot of it is related to potential future dredging. But, you know, people say we use this area for other uses, recreational, crabbing, fishing. They have some concerns that if cage aquaculture is put in here, like you've heard many times before, that it would preclude some of those other uses. And that certainly is a legitimate concern to have by the Yellow Chestnut. In the most recent documents I just gave you, there was two more protestant letters. There was also a letter from the applicant. I think it mentions some additional information that they've been working with a number of organizations, including James Madison University, related to educational center that might be constructed on part of this property. They There's a related letter from the county administrator, indicating that the county has approved, at least to some degree, some of the upland development parts of this project related to one site. And also alludes to the JMU connection. And according to that letter, the county has been seeking to get, I guess, a university, but maybe particularly JMU, involved in building something like this for education related to actual shellfish. They don't know whether this will still happen. The applicant has certainly been proffering that he's working with JMU to try to make it happen. As you can see in the letter, they said this is the closest we've got to actually getting something. I did mention this to BIMS. I think the letter alludes that there might be some connection to BIMS. I don't think BIMS really has had, as far as we know, any direct contact with JMU. So I don't really know the full status of that in the applicant name. We also received, as you see in that last packet of letters, attachment Breeden cover sheet that was sent in. All letters in support. They are a standard letter that people just sign. They all say the same thing. But there is quite a few of those in that packet. We hadn't really received, we also received one additional letter from Waterman, who you're all familiar with, who's worked with the Waterman's Association, also saying he's had some contact with the applicant.
Ken Smith's email, is that what you're referring to?
That this project could be used in conjunction with Waterman. And I'll let the applicant explain how that might work. I assume there might be some kind of co-op type agreement, maybe semi-similar to the Orange County, Virginia model that we've seen in the past. But I'll let the applicant address. So those are the kind of the issues in a nutshell. Have any specific questions about specific opposition? Try to answer them. There's a number of people here, I believe, who are in opposition to speak. Our recommendation is basically, while we do, you know, take into consideration the sizable number of letters of opposition we got from local citizens, we have no control over the upland parcel and how it's zoned and used, and we don't believe that's directly germane to this application. There's no application to dredge at the moment, any kind of channel. The applicant has indicated he will do oyster aquaculture, has provided documentation to confirm that. We have to take him at his word. That's what we do with everybody with the questionnaire. And that the area is being proposed to use for oyster ground uses. And any future development of the marina or dredging would require a separate permit process. And the commission will address any issues with that.
I think that's a pretty important point for the folks who are here today. I know there are a lot of folks here who are, I guess, in addition to opposing this, concerned about this development. We're not here today about that at all. That would be a completely separate permit process. So I would just ask the public who's here to comment today to restrict their comments to the oyster lease and that matter only, and not get into other areas that will involve other meetings, other public hearings, other permits. Thank you.
So, segue right off of that. Based on that, after evaluating the application and the objections and the support, considering all the factors in the code 28.2603 through 28.2608, we do recommend approval of the lease as surveyed.
Questions. Mr. Plumley.
Yeah, just to clarify, because I think you made it clear, but I want to just highlight the affidavit for the corporation came in 2009 based on a transfer of another lease that the corporation received. That's why it's dated so
that's
long before this application.
The only document in this file that's not directly related originally to this file.
Right.
I basically pulled that out of the transfer. It was attached to the transfer document. When they got previous leases in this creek, transferred from another leaseholder to them, we requested they sign the affidavit at that time, and that's why it has the older date.
Right.
And then we required some additional, because the issue was raised so much by so many people, including a lawyer with the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, we felt that we requested from them that they might want to provide additional information in addition to the affidavit. I mean, the affidavit's a legal document.
Right.
But it might
there's
be
no challenge to it.
We weren't going to necessarily require it, but we asked if they might want to provide it, and they did provide additional.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I'm sorry, just a couple of follow-up on that. Ms. Sharp filled out the application that came in 2011, and now the company is based in Urbana and not Charlottesville as it was previously. Is that your understanding?
That's my understanding. I think the applicant can address that.
Okay.
I think it is solely owned, but Ms. Sharp is a some type of employee or person within that.
But she signed on behalf of the corporation for the application. All right, thank you.
Mr. Tankard.
Two things. So what you're saying, there's some leases that were in this area beforehand, and they've taken up some of those leases.
Basically, on this plat, it's these two leases, this lease up here, this lease right here. This is the plat for area, and there might be some off the map. And this lease right here.
And so a couple of follow-up questions. So are they doing anything with regard to propagation of shellfish with those leases at this current time?
Where, whether they are or not, I think they can address that issue.
Okay. One more
follow-up. 10-year lease once you have it, so they have 10 years.
To do something. Okay. And then a follow-up question is, Mr. Ken Smith, I know he's also a real estate agent. Is he speaking in capacity as a real estate guy or working Watermen's Association here?
Can't speak for him. He did not sign it, I don't believe.
He didn't sign it either way.
For the working watermen's. So I just took it as a citizen.
Citizen only. Okay. Well, you highlighted
the only
him.
Way I can
so.
Interpret it. You know who he is. It's his connection. So.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it. Left Point Holdings is represented. Mr. Breeden? Welcome.
Ed, associate members of the commission. I'm Jim Breeden from Irvington. I sat here this morning and listened to the PER application. I want to assure all of you, and I told Mr. Schick this during the break, we know of no Superfund site on this property, and we don't think the EPA is involved with it. So,
good to know.
That may make things a little easier. This is the second time I've been down here in the last year on oysters, and that's good for me because... I once said a year or so ago, if I had another Gulf oyster, any time it would be too soon. So I'm delighted that oysters are coming back in the Chesapeake Bay, and we're excited about this application. I would refer the commission first to James Madison University's letter, which their provost wrote to the commissioner. And this project with James Madison is underway. It is the funding is guaranteed for it, and... As he says, James Madison is excited about it, both from a research science viewpoint, and he lays out some of the things that they want to do, but also they are working from a business viewpoint. They want to engage their business students as far as marketing and so forth, and they obviously will use it as a teaching lab. And as I said, the funding is there. I want to say now that this JMU project is independent of the development project, which Mr. Dingledean has been involved with, has nothing to do with it. It is going forward regardless of whatever happens to the development. The James Madison students will be on the site within a month. We have housing for them at Barnes Creek, and they will be there. It's going to be small at first. We're going to start with baby steps. But eventually it will involve a collaboration of science and business. We are in the embryonic stages of working with Wake Forest University, where Mr. Dingledean has some connections, as far as them becoming a partner in this also. But for right now, it's James Madison University. And I would tell you, and he can tell you himself, Mr. Dingledean has been successful in other business education partnerships. We've been working as far as... getting shell stock, and it won't be just aquaculture. If you look at the application or the questionnaire, we intend to do traditional oyster production as well as aquaculture. And we've had extensive discussions, and his name just came up, Ken Smith. I'm telling you, he's not speaking for the Virginia working waterman. He's speaking for himself as a waterman, but he had no connection with this, any of the real estate here as a real estate broker. So his letter, if you read it carefully, deals with his involvement as a waterman. And he is also interested, he would tell you this, he is, as you all know, is involved in the Heritage Program, which is he's trying to get watermen involved in a detailed type program that he's partnering with other people in Northern Neck, and I'll tell you a little bit about that in a moment. But he's not speaking for the watermen. Now, we have the folks at Bluff Point have done an extensive job of researching this. This is just the bibliography of the articles and so forth they put together in a book about this thick in connection with James Madison to make sure that they've studied this thoroughly. I would tell you that independent of the Upland Development Project, there was a plat made in January of 11, of 11 for the Upland site for seafood processing. So this project is going forward. We, as I said, in a month we'll have people from James Madison, students and faculty there. I was pleased to get, and although he was obviously busy on other things, Kenny Eads, the Northumberland County Administrator, wrote you all a letter, and I commend you to some parts of it. He just sent it yesterday, and I think it's, as Mr. Stagg said, it's on blue paper. He says that he mentions the James Madison Research Facility, and he says, I'd like to offer some thoughts. He said, the establishment of a research center within Northumberland County would be something that the county has tried to pursue in the past, and the idea has never moved past the planning stage. Bluff Point is the closest that we've come, and the commission should consider that having James Madison in the county is an asset to us. Northumberland is the northernmost county. Mr. Fox knows where it is. It's the mother county of the Northern Neck, it's called, and their government, their board of supervisors, says James Madison will be a real asset, not to mention the economic benefits. And the Economic Development Commission also wrote you all a letter. I don't know which part of your packet it's in, but Mr. Hendrickson, who is here, endorses this project. It was a unanimous vote by the Northumberland County Economic Development Commission. They did have a vote on it. And I would tell you, as a citizen of the Northern Neck, we sometimes feel sort of left out. We're way up there. I know how people on the Eastern Shore feel, you know, because I know they often feel that the people in Richmond forget about the Eastern Shore often, and there's a little bit of feeling in the Northern Neck. We have no railroad. We have no major industry, Menhaden Fishing, and there's no industry there. We're always looking for things that will bring jobs. And this will bring people, faculty and students to the Northern Neck. We hope some of them might stay if they like it. But when we see something that helps our economy, people like Kenny Eads write to you and tell you because it's important. And the Economic Development Commission. This plan is an educational partnership. It will involve aquaculture. It will also involve, as I mentioned, conventional oyster production. And we are intending to use the shore for growing oysters. And our charter says that. We know today, and you all know, that government money for grants and so forth is evaporating. And about the only way we're going to get things done like this is a private business university partnerships. And as I mentioned, and Mr. Dingledean can tell you more about this, he has some experience in that. I'd like to look just briefly at some of the objections. The Chesapeake Bay Foundation, which most of us probably belong to, says that Bluff Point's not a proper applicant, and they wrote two letters about that. The fact of the matter is we filed an affidavit that said we intend to do oyster propagation. I have a resolution which Mr. Dingledean, as the sole member, adopted in May of 2009. We then, just to be sure that there was no question, we amended the charter to include all legal business purposes and specifically the production of oysters. And we believe it, the language of it is very clear that that's part of our purpose. And as Mr. Stagg said, businesses throughout Virginia have often done more than one thing. They'll do on the Eastern Shore. I know there have been companies that have been involved in truck farming, as well as oyster production. And that's always been an acceptable way of doing business. We have amended our charter so that we're absolutely got the purpose in there. Now, I'd like to look, Ms. Ida Hall, and I know Ms. Hall, she and I aren't often on the same side, but I respect her. She writes a letter to you back in August, a year ago, August 9, and she says to you all, can you guarantee the Bluff Point Holdings LLC plans to raise oysters and isn't just requesting the oyster lease to gain at some time easier approval of their marina and dredging plan? I can answer that. Yes. Here's how. It's very simple. If Bluff Point Holdings doesn't do what it says today, it doesn't put together this program and continue this program of growing oysters and aquaculture for oysters, and just completely ignores what it says it's going to do and what it said by affidavit it's going to do, this commission in no way would ever approve a dredging application if we came back. This commission would say, wait a minute, you were here in 2012 and you said you were going to do these things. Your lawyer, Mr. Breeden, got up and said these things, and you got up, Mr. Dingledean, and you haven't done them. There's no way that you would even look at us. You'd laugh us out of here. And there is an absolute requirement that people that hold oyster shore work that ground. And so there's a very good guarantee that we will do what we say. We mean what we say, and we have said to you today, and we'll say to you what we mean. And so we will follow up on what we plan to do. And as Mr. Stagg said, and your commissioner said, if we should ever come back for an application for either a marina or dredging, there's a full public interest review. And that's what this system's all about. And at that time, I would certainly expect, be shocked if it didn't happen, that the issue of what we said here today and what we ask you for today was not fulfilled totally by Bluff Point. So I think there is, in fact, a guarantee that we will do what we say we're going to do. And I'm not going to dwell on the other points because I don't think they are relevant. I ask that you adopt the staff's recommendation. They put a lot of time in it, and they weighed the competing interests. We are excited about the program with James Madison University. We've spent a lot of time on it, a lot of effort. I have two people here, Mr. Hendrickson, who is chairman of the Northumberland County Economic Development Commission, and Mr. Dingledean. But in the meantime, I'll be happy to answer any questions that anybody has.
Questions for Mr. Breeden. Mr. Plumley.
Thank you very much. Since you're willing to say it and stand by it, I'm going to have you say it. because the affidavit that we have says that, at least the one that I've seen in the application, that it was that the company was chartered under the laws of the Commonwealth for the purpose of oyster cultivation with at least 60% of the stock owned by the residents of the Commonwealth of Virginia. This was submitted on May 18, 2009, so it was not pertaining to this lease. So I wanted to make clear.
I will state to you affirmatively that affidavit applies not only to the leases that were applied for then, but most definitely to this application and to the extent, and I'll be happy to prepare another affidavit and submit it as a part of the record in this, but I am confirming to you that it is indeed our intention.
And Mr. Tankard had raised the question earlier about whether the current leases were being used for oyster cultivation.
We have gotten those, and we have shown that information to JMU, and we intend to incorporate them into the program. We have not done anything other than in the planning stage for the whole project. But they will be certainly among the earliest of the areas if we're doing planning with shells. I was talking to Rufus Roark yesterday about the possibility of getting shells, and you know, we're talking to other people. So they will be planted, and I cannot tell you because I'm not in the Ken Smith will play some role in this, I think, but which ones will be devoted to aquaculture and which ones to just conventional oyster production. It's going to depend, obviously, on what the bottom is like in some of the areas. And some of this bottom, unfortunately, is muddy and will probably require some remedial work before you can do anything.
If I can bring your attention to the application, the question was asked, will there be clam cultivation? And that answer was no. Is that using traditional methods on bottom?
As far as I know right now, there's no planning for clam cultivation. I would say, you know, depending on how this program goes, it may be at some point clam cultivation. But we haven't done any talking about it right now, honestly.
Thank you.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just looking through the letters of protest, there have been some concerns, obviously, about the intent of the lease application. Can you just give us a sense qualitatively of what sort of activity the public might expect to see if it is permitted over the next year or two? I know you're still in the planning phases, but can you give us a sense of what we might expect to see?
In fact, we're getting near the end of some of the planning, and I can have Mr. Dingledean answer that in more detail. But it's going to be – we are moving reasonably rapidly from planning – into actual having things done. We intend to engage some watermen to help us, some of whom we've already talked with. We intend to get the educational program. That will be underway within the next 30 to 40 days. And Mr. Dingledean, and I will, if you will remind him, will answer that more specifically.
Any other questions for Mr. Breeden? Okay, thank you so much. Mr. Dingledean, do you want to be heard today? Please come up. You swear the testimony you'll give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Chairman Travelstead and fellow commissioners, thank you for this opportunity and for the time that you've spent on this issue. There have been a number of issues that have been raised, and one of the keys is that this is about creating an oystering operation, independent of any preliminary approval from the county for development that may or may not take place. No other permits other than remedial permits of culverts have been applied for since the county has approved the preliminary plan of development. The only thing related to anything that will go forward is, as Mr. Breeden said, I have committed, and I have not committed all the funds, so I want to be very clear. 100% of all funds for the Education Center are not committed to. Those funds, seven figures, are committed to by me and structuring that. I own property on the south side of Barnes Creek outside of Bluff Point Holdings. That's held in personal name. So I want to clarify that. I'm a person that moves diligently, slowly, fast when I need to, and nimbly. I acquired the first property 7 years ago. So in response to the question of the initial acreage that was acquired, have I done anything with it yet? And the answer is no to that. We knew that we were looking for additional acreage to provide different strata, different oystering operations as we broadly look at it, different situations regarding their location relative to marsh, as we're looking at different issues in terms of larvae surviving with CO2, more CO2 coming out of the marsh levels. There's a lot to study within this and look at. Climate change is going to change a lot. So we do have different habitats, different settings. Over the weekend and personally, down in Matthews County, I am looking at a project for shoreline protection. I don't like to harden a shoreline, so I'm looking at a structure offshore at mean low water, basically, that would be a cement structure. I mean, I have to come back for a different permit, but my only point is I'm looking at all kinds of things, and these would be shell-implanted concrete you know, some of them would be pre-spatted, some of them would not be. So looking at all different aspects of this. But in terms of the timing, once I acquired those leases, I had met with the Nature Conservancy on site with Mark Breyer, their head of the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, as we have discussed what type of restoration should we take there. And I do have email correspondence going back and forth from 09 on that issue. In terms of why I didn't acquire this acreage before, again, partly it's not in a rush. I did have to start thinking about things differently when I saw 250 acres leased off the bayfront of the land holdings. So with JMU, the commitment's there, Wake Forest, they may or may not get involved, and I will not make any representation unless I know it for fact.
Thank you. Questions for Mr. Dingledean? Mr. Fox.
Are you the sole holder of Bluff Point Holdings?
I am the sole holder.
And you are a Virginia resident?
I am a Virginia resident.
Good.
And it's in Charlottesville. There's a question before about Urbana, Charlottesville. Bluff Point Holdings registered agent is myself, and it is Charlottesville.
Thank you. See no further questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Breeden, do you have others to wish to speak in favor of the
Mr. Hendrickson?
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
John Hendrickson.
Thank you.
Mainly, the main reason I'm here today is there was some confusion on whether the county letters were going to reach you in time today, so I decided to come down today to testify in person in case they didn't reach you. You have the letters in support with you, which is good news. My commission, I'm in charge of the Economic Development Commission of Northumberland. Ourselves and the county support this project. We support Mr. Dingledean not only on this project with his oysters, but also on the inland project, which is, I know it's completely separate deal, but we do support it. It's going to bring jobs, it's going to bring growth to our county, and it's desperately needed. So that's really all I have to say about from the county standpoint. On a personal note, if I may, I'm a Northumberland resident. I live on the water. I support Mr. Dingledean's application.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Hendrickson? Seeing none. Thank you, sir. Anyone else, Mr. Breeden?
No.
Okay. Those who wish to speak in opposition to the proposed lease, could you raise your hand, please? Okay. We'll start in the front and work our way back.
We have a floor to
do. Oh, you do? Okay. That's even better. Let's do this. Why don't all of you who wish to testify stand, and I'll swear all of you in at one time. Do you swear that the testimony you will give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you.
Mr. Travelstead and members of the commission, my name is Barbara Konekis, and I live on Barnes Creek. I am opposing Bluff Point Holding LLC's oyster lease request. Barnes Creek is a very quiet, shallow creek with many opportunities for recreation. My neighbors and I kayak on a regular basis. Some of that water is what realtors would call kayak depth. Other neighbors use the waters for boating, tubing, jet skiing, crabbing, fishing, and standing paddle boarding. We enjoy this body of water, and we think of it as a commons recreation area comparable to a public park on land. Parts of the creek are only 1 foot or less. I am concerned about safety and our ability to continue to use these waters with an intensive population of oyster cages. The lease would allow for up to 999 cages. Considering that the king bed mattress size of some commercial cages, I fear the creek would be taken over by cages and markers, leaving very little area for the recreation that we now enjoy, and the residents would lose access to this portion of Barnes Creek. I believe the Commission's July 2011 decision to deny Oyster Company of Virginia's request for oyster planting ground in the Pecosin River sets a precedent to deny Bluff Point Holding LLC's request for oyster leases in Barnes Creek. The Commission decided that the 48-acre site in question on the Pecosin River was incompatible for a large aquaculture operation because it is used extensively for a variety of recreational water activities. Likewise, I believe that Barnes Creek is incompatible with large-scale oystering because it is used extensively for recreation. I urge you to deny this application. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Pete Kinnegas, Mr. Travelson, Commissioners. My name is Pete Kinnegas, and I live at 41 Barnesview Lane. I live on Barnes Creek, where the holding is being requested. In studying the applicant's request, it appears that they are requesting to lease the entire bottom of Barnes Creek and out into the bay. I urge you to deny this application. For those of us who live on Barnes Creek, granting the lease would be a great injustice to us all, as it would deny us the opportunity to continue to use the creek for recreational purposes. During this past summer, we enjoyed watching the dolphins that were feeding with the young inside of Barnes Creek. We have used the creek for a variety of activities with the grandkids, to include fishing, crabbing, and tubing. Approving this application and allowing the placement of all those oyster cages would deny the citizens the use of Barnes Creek as a recreational activity. Will the cages prevent the migration of crabs in and out of Barnes Creek? They're going to be blocking the entrance to the creek. Concern. Looking at the plans, you can see that they're taking the whole creek away from the citizens. The raising of oysters in cages will require power washing of the cages. Barnes Creek is a relatively shallow creek with shoaling at the entrance. What will the effect be on the submerged aquatic vegetation with all the sediment generated by the power washing? Is there sufficient flushing of the creek with the tidal changes? We do not want a highly industrial operation taking place in our creek. We came to this area for the peace and tranquility that exists today and do not want it destroyed. Again, I urge you to deny this application. Thank you for your time.
Travelstead, gentlemen. My name is Carl Gruel, G-R-U-E-L. I live at 97 Barnesview Lane, which by its name looks out on Barnesview. I look right down Barnesview proper, out the mouth. I can see the ships, the big ships, going up and down the cut channel when the weather's good. I moved there, bought the property, a new house, my retirement home in 1995. And we've lived there full-time since 2000, when I retired from active work. I want to talk to you about one key issue that I haven't heard addressed yet that I think it should be absolutely foremost in your minds. That is 250 acres of oyster lease for the purpose of aquaculture, for raising oysters. Is that bottom suitable for raising oysters? It seems to me that should be one of the key questions facing the commission here. And I can tell you from experience that from the mouth of Barnes Creek, that's where that donut hole is, inside is all 5 or 6 inches of black muck that will suck the shoe off of you if you're standing in it and you're not careful on how you pull your foot out of the bottom. And I know that from experience because I put my pier in by jetting it in with a trash pump and putting the poles down. And several of the people helping me spent a lot of time in the water because they moved before they moved their body before they moved their feet. That's soft bottom. Now, to support that issue, let me ask you gentleman a question. Why did one of the watermen, who's a professional waterman, who's now my age, or very close to it, and getting ready to retire, why did he sell his leases in Barnes Creek to Mr. Dingledean's company? Answer is because he wasn't using them, and he got a good offer. And so if I wasn't using them and I got a good offer, I'd probably sell them also. Why wasn't he using them? He's a professional waterman. That's his life. He's still crabbing in Barnes Creek. One of his traps is right off my property. I speak to him whenever I see him. The reason he wasn't oystering in there, although he had the oyster leases, when I first moved down here from Northern Virginia, I saw this white pole out in the middle of the creek in front of my house. And in conversation with him, I said, "What's that pole doing there? Is it a navigation mark?" He said, "Oh, no, you got that wrong. It's not a navigation mark. It's a corner marker or a boundary marker for an oyster lease." "Oh, great. Are there oysters here? I like oysters." Well, there may have been at one time, but I can tell you since 1995 on, there hasn't been. Why not? Because the bottom isn't suitable. So why did people have oyster leases? At one time, the bottom was suitable. Perhaps it was before in the 70s or maybe the 60s when the mouth of Barnes Creek opened for the first time after a hurricane. Before that, there may have been areas that were suitable, which are the ones which were the existing leases. But now they aren't. The only oysters that I know of that have been successfully raised in Barnes Creek in the last several years are my neighbors up and down the creek who have floats attached to their pier, and they get the spat from one of the programs, and they raise them and turn the juvenile oysters back in. I don't know. I don't do it, so I don't know the names of those programs. But any oysters that get out of those float cages die, except for the few spat that escape and that have struck on my riprap and on my pier pilot. And they don't last very long either. They last about a year and a half. But it wasn't disease that wiped out oystering, if it ever really was profitable in Barnes Creek. It was the bottom. Now this waterman, his son works with him and was oystering as recently as I know of, as last year, in Rappahannock River. Now why would he live right here and go clear over Rappahannock River to oyster if it was oystering in Barnes Creek? Got to think about that. The bottom isn't suitable inside. How about the bottom, the bulk of what's being asked for in that lease outside? I can tell you that that's extraordinarily unstable. Look at the aerial photograph. Let me put that up on the easel for a moment.
Where's Ben? Ben, can you put... Oh, I'm sorry. He's going to put it on the easel.
See all of the wavy marks that are outside the mouth of Barnes Creek. And then down to the left is Indian Creek and all the wavy marks down there. Those are sandbars, gentlemen. That's the erosion from up the bay that washes down on every ebb tide and especially on every easterly or northeasterly blow, like we had last Saturday a week ago. I saw 3-foot waves running down the bay and breaking on the mouth of Barnes Creek entirely across the mouth. And that happens frequently. Those of us that live on the creek that go out know that that entrance at low water is a foot or barely more than a foot deep. Not in one spot, across a series of bars. And the way to snake across that series of bars successfully changes from storm to storm, from tide to tide. I have a 26-foot sailboat. There's never been a sailboat in Barnes Creek. It's a McGregor. It has a swing keel. It draws 14 inches with the ballast tank empty. But it draws 2 feet with the engine down, with the outboard. I can't get across there with the outboard down at low tide. I have to go across at mid-tide or better. The waterman that lives there said, "Oh, my God, what are you doing?" The first time he saw me come in my sailboat. Said there's never been a sailboat in Barnes Creek because they can't get in. If they get in, they can't get out. There is another entrance, and it has a fixed highway bridge with a posted in the charts 8-foot clearance. That 8-foot clearance is generous, gentlemen. I know from going under it in power boats of friends of mine that we have to take the antennas down and sometimes the bimini top just to get in and out of that creek under that bridge. Now, if the applicant is going to do reasonable aquaculture in there in cages, they have to be washed frequently to keep from killing the oysters with the silt that accumulates on them. That takes a pretty sizable boat to take a cage off the bottom, 12 inches or less height from the bottom, as advertised in the affidavit, raise it up, put it on deck somewhere, at least hold it out of the water, wash it down, and then relocate it. How are you going to get a boat sizable enough in the creek to get that done? Good question that the applicant should be able to answer for you if he's got true plans for doing aquaculture. That entrance is unstable, and as a previous chart that was up in the projector showed, the depth of water outside does not get deep until you get to Indian Creek or until you get to the end of that lease, which coincidentally happens to be about a 10-foot depth, which, although it's not part of this issue, is the proposed depth of a channel that might be dredged in the future. Let me raise another issue to you that I think might be important. What is the fetch for wave action on that exposed ground from the mouth on out? Eastward across the bay, it's close to 20 miles. Southeast, it's in the order of 40 miles. North, I'm not sure how far Baltimore is, but it's that far. That's exposed ground, gentlemen. Why has there not been active oyster culture on that ground before? There's a lot of other uses for that, and other people are going to speak to the quiet uses of the creek, and I won't take your time with that, but I just want to say one thing more. In Barnes Creek, there are no old oyster reefs extant. There aren't any. I urge you to seriously think about not allowing this lease. Thank you, gentlemen.
I have one question for Mr. Gruhl.
Yes.
Is your testimony that this ground was leased to a waterman
yes.
and that waterman has transferred ownership in the lease?
Yes.
Is that right?
It was sold in 2009 to Bluff Point Holdings.
This what we're looking at up here?
No, not the red stuff. The ones that were called out before, the pointer doesn't seem to be working here, or I would point them out. No.
But those grounds were not being oystered. Is that what you're saying?
These right here.
Okay.
That one and the one across, this is the front of my property, were sold by Mr. Croxton to Bluff Point Holdings in 2009.
And those grounds were not being oystered. That's
being oystered.
Okay, thank you.
I've been to one of my neighbors anecdotally told me, so he's been here since 1977, and it hasn't been oystered since then. But I don't know that. So.
Question.
Well, I'm not
Mr.
testifying Tanker. To that. That's anecdotal.
Mr. Gruhl, what's the tide, what kind of tide action do you have in there? And what
tide going? Range is about 16 inches. Let's see if you know, pulling up any tide chart. But it varies greatly day to day. We have seen tide on the hurricanes, of course, at 5.3, but normally runs up to 3 foot over mean low water and sometimes down as much as nearly a foot under mean low water.
And what's the average mean low water? And
I'm not sure how to answer. What's the depth of water?
Yeah, depth of water.
The depth of water that's pretty much what was shown on the one chart that was up there, the navigational chart before. 5 feet in the middle of lower Barnes Creek.
Right.
And then about a foot, a little bit more, depending on the sandbar, across the mouth for a good long ways, like 300 or 400 yards, and then a very gradual shoaling off down to 10, 12 feet out, well out into the bay.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you, John.
My name is Harold Burnley. Since 1977, I've lived on Barnes Creek, on Monarch Shores Lane. My property is surrounded by land owned by Bluff Point Holdings, LLC, and I'm opposed to the oyster lease. As you know, Mr. Dingledean is planning a large high-density development on Bluff Point, including an inland marina, and he plans to dredge a 1.3-mile-long channel from the proposed marina through Barnes Creek into the Chesapeake Bay. Residents in the area and visitors use Barnes Creek for fishing, crabbing, boating, kayaking, tubing, swimming, paddleboarding, you name it. The proposed development will dramatically increase the use of Barnes Creek. The marina alone will be sized to handle 230 vessels. Up to 100 feet in length. Barnes Creek is shallow. Oyster cages will surely impair the creek's use for recreational purposes and present significant safety concerns. It seems to me that there are mixed and incompatible motives in play. On the one hand, Bluff Point LLC plans to build an upscale recreational community on Barnes Creek, dramatically increasing the use of the creek. On the other, they plan to dredge a deep channel through the center of the requested oyster lease. My question is, are dredging and redredging that channel compatible with oyster production? As you know, Bluff Point LLC currently holds other oyster grounds in Barnes Creek. It would seem prudent to me to work these grounds to determine the suitability and quality of production before requesting another 250 acres. Approving this lease application will alter a lifestyle many of us have worked a lifetime to enjoy. It seems to me Mr. Dingledean wants it all. He wants Bluff Point and the surrounding land, and now he wants all of the bottom under the creek. Commissioners, enough is enough. You should also know that this entire development project is very very unpopular in the county. In fact, a petition was signed by over 1,000 people in a county population.
We're not here to, we're not here today to judge the development. We don't have anything before us on that.
Well, the use of Barnes Creek for oystering is unpopular because it's a recreational area that many of us and our visitors enjoy and want to continue to enjoy. It's a part of our lifestyle, part of our way of life. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Susan Birch, and I retired to Barnes Creek in 2006 in August. And the reason why I know it was August was because Ernesto decided to spend some time on Barnes Creek. And one of the first experiences I can remember vividly is the water rising as the wind pushed the water up Barnes Creek. And I'd liken it to a funnel, with the wide part being the bottom where these oyster cages and the commercial operation is going to take place. I sit at the top in a very narrow part, and I have experienced the power of the wind and the water. And I have found lawn furniture in my yard. And I don't know anything about a commercial oyster operation. I just know that I'm up the creek. And if a cage were not secured properly, and I know oysters are very heavy, I know that because my husband has a float. And when the oysters get big, he puts that float on the boat lift and hoists them up to clean them off. And it's a little bit of noise. But I will tell you that the sound on the creek amplifies. My next-door neighbor whistles and I can hear his whistling. And across the creek in Monarch Shores, I can hear a boat, a car going down the gravel road. I can only imagine the sound of dredging or power washing oysters and how that sound is going to impact our lifestyle, our quiet life. We don't understand commercial operations where we live. It is very unfriendly to even consider doing that. We aren't very many people. And the reason why you see lots of names over and over again on these letters and petitions is because there aren't many of us. And we have been abandoned by Northumberland County supervisors. I will say that. They are not our friends. We have one friend on the five-man commission, and he stood with us against Bluff Point Holdings. I'm not against Bluff Point Holdings making money. I'm saying that this is not the right location for oystering. Oysters are not that scarce that you would have to consider putting an operation of this scale where we live. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? Ms. Smith.
Good afternoon. My name is Connie Falvey, and I must say that what I have to say to you might seem a little frivolous after what you've heard today and what I've listened to as well, but it is not frivolous to us. I love this area. I have lived there now for about 12 years. I live on the western side of Bayberry Island, where Henry's Creek flows into Barnes Creek. For 8 or 9 years, I have been part of two groups of women that love to put their kayaks in at our place and paddle along Barnes Creek and through it for a great trip to a nearby beach. We have enjoyed this trip on many occasions, and always it is with great appreciation of our surroundings. This area has been a C1 conservation area. It is an especially fine area through which to paddle and enjoy other recreational activities. Part of it is a quiet residential area, and the rest with tree-shaded shores, beautiful, unspoiled, natural. It is home to much wildlife, osprey, herons, turtles, and at least I've sighted once an eagle. This lovely area also draws folks from other neighborhoods and those from anchored boats take their dinghies through or travel there within their dinghies. These are destination waters with scenic and recreational value that should remain and not be lost to a large enterprise. I'm here to object to a permit being granted to Bluff Point Holdings for the oyster planting grounds in Barnes Creek. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Hall, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Good afternoon. I'm Ida Hall. I have been asked to sort of summarize, but I would like to begin by saying that on the surface, this oyster lease request in Barnes Creek seems like a good thing. Oyster restoration is the end thing. Local, state, and federal agencies are all involved in efforts to restore oysters for long-term sustainability that will improve water quality, marine resources, and benefit all of us in the Bay. And this is certainly commendable. And as a commercial waterman, I'm currently trying to do my part to restore oysters in Jarvis Creek, where I currently lease 21.16 acres. I also own property on Barnes Creek. Bluff Point Holdings LLC's 250-acre oyster lease request is not an appropriate use for the state-owned bottom, and it is not about raising oysters. As you have heard, much of this requested lease would be on unsuitable bottom and could impede navigation. A large portion of this requested lease that is located on either side of the mouth, on the current mouth of Barnes Creek and southerly towards Sleets Bay, is a very shallow, hard sand bottom about a foot deep at mean low water. Until the 1960s, it was a large beach. Any oysters planted on the bottom would be silted over by the constantly shifting sands, placing any structures 12 inches or less on the bottom in this area, as indicated on the applicant's use plan questionnaire, would pose increased risk to navigation and essentially make the entrance to the creek inaccessible. It seemed to me that when you consider this lease, whether to approve it or not, I would think that you would want to have a specific plan as to the location of where these cages might be planned for. I know that Mr. Dingledean said that he is still working with Ken Smith regarding this, but certainly those of us that use the creek, I think, should have some knowledge, and I would certainly think it would be, you know, in the commission's best interest to have a specific plan as to the location of where these cages might be. Certainly placing them down there at the mouth of the of Barnes Creek is not a good location. The cages would require some means of stabilization to prevent them from shifting with the current. Oyster floats would also create problems. No real waterman or licensed oyster company would attempt to plant oysters here. I have several comments from watermen that live in the area, that they are knowledgeable of the area, they are knowledgeable about oystering, and I would like to turn these over to you for your comments, but if I could just take a couple of sentences out of each one. I mean, James Edwards comments that as a waterman experienced in oystering, I question why this applicant would request this area to raise oysters. Anyone knowledgeable in oystering and really in the oystering business would have requested ground that is more suitable and appropriate for oyster cultivation. Is this truly about oystering? The shallow creek is a haven for crabs, fish, other marine life, shorebirds that feed along the submerged beach area near the mouth, waterfowl, and small boats that don't create erosion. And as stated earlier, Barnes Creek is just ill-suited for such a huge oyster industry on inappropriate bottom that would create navigational and other safety concerns. And Tammy Croxton also has urging the commission to deny this request. She is works on the creek. She works with her husband fishing the peeler traps that are in there, and she is experienced in oyster harvesting. They work on public grounds, and they actually lease oyster ground in the Piankatank River. She finds this location an unwise investment for oyster cultivation. And another comment that is made that the, and that area, that map is gone, but the actual oyster lease, the one, that one, thank you. I don't see the pointer, but.
Use the mouse.
Oh, I'm not real knowledgeable on this. Hello. Oh, there you are. This is the area that is extremely shallow and would just be an unwise investment for cages And if you planted shells, as I think I said, or seed or anything like spout on shell, they're going to be tilted over. But the other comments are this area up in here is the deepest portion of Barnes Creek, anywhere in the creek, and it is used by the boaters as a navigable channel. It's the only ingress and egress that is deep enough for steady ingress and egress. So even I think the depth it was on the other chart showed that it's about 5 feet, which isn't really deep. Any cages planted put in this area could potentially cause problems, but again, how would work boats work that area without interfering with boat traffic that frequents the area? And Tammy also is concerned that any crab pots or pilot pots that might be located on the edge of this channel could be entangled with these cages, and that could be a problem. And Robert Burnett, who also lives on Barnes Creek, is a commercial waterman, and he is also a gill netter. And he is concerned about how the lease request would affect his net if the cages are set on the bottom, even if they're marked. They do move from the location, so there's no guarantee that they might stay where they're supposed to. And why should one individual or company be allowed to take over the entire creek? Aren't these public waters, and isn't the bottom also for the benefit of all citizens? And how will those of us that live on the creek be able to get in and out of the creek if oysters are planted in the deepest portion? And he does not feel that this is an appropriate use for the state-owned bottom, as it poses navigational safety and use concerns. And approval would eliminate other uses in the creek. I will.
Thank you.
And just a little bit of history on Barnes Creek, something you might want to keep in mind just so you can understand. Back in 1755, Barnes Creek didn't exist. It was a piece of land. By the late 1800s, it was a pond, a landlocked pond. It was my great uncle Goldsboro Hall that actually dug a ditch between Henry's Creek and Barnes Creek to allow salt water to flow into Barnes Creek to make it possible for oysters to survive and grow. And unfortunately, there weren't any erosion control plans back then, so this little ditch that was dug is now a wide area at the end of the Croxton's Dock that has a state bridge running across it to the island that was created. But that was just a little information. And this is, I have a current aerial that I will let you all look at that was taken in August of this year that shows, and it didn't get quite all of Bluff Point, but you can see a huge area of sand right off of this area where it's only about a foot deep, and we're, who knows, are cages going to go there or not? I don't know, but that certainly any type of oyster planting would not be a wise investment.
And that would be right there, right?
Excuse me?
That would be right there.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not sure where all the pointers are. Barnes Creek is an environmentally sensitive, sparsely developed residential community. As stated early, frequently used by kayakers and not suited for a massive commercial oyster operation. It is surrounded by conservation zone land, by woodlands, by protected tidal marshes, and a primary dune system. Barnes Creek and the surrounding habitat are a haven for waterfowl, shorebirds, marine life, and the endangered tiger beetle, kayakers, fishermen, and other small watercraft. This tranquil setting is not designed for any type of major commercial operation as huge as this oyster lease would create. The several smaller oyster leases located in the creek are more in keeping with its surroundings and are located in areas that are closer to the shore, away from regular boat traffic and the existing navigable channel. And of course, Bluff Point Holdings has some of these leases. I don't understand why an applicant would request a lease on some of the worst state-owned bottom for oyster cultivation in the same location where he may at some time dredge a channel through this oyster lease. Could this commission get the state-owned bottom back? Oyster leases are for the sole purpose of propagating and cultivating oysters. An oyster lease is granted for 10 years. If there is no significant oyster cultivation during that time, the lease is not renewed. Can this commission get this leased ground back in the same condition it might lease it out, or will permitting this lease request enable dredging to destroy this bottom for all of us? And this creek bottom belongs to all of us. Under the Virginia Constitution, the state holds the land lying beneath the public waters as trustee for the benefit of all its citizens. And as trustee, the state is responsible for the proper management of the resource to ensure the preservation and protection of all appropriate current and future uses. And you are to protect it from any pollution, impairment, and destruction. In May of 2005, Commissioner Bill Pruitt cast the deciding vote to deny a waterman his request to lease 250 acres. This was a public oyster ground. He voted against the application because he stated, "You're going to get something that belongs to everybody." The ultimate plan Bluff Point Holdings LLC Development Company has for the Barnes Creek state-owned bottom cannot be totally ignored in making your decision to approve or deny this lease request. As commissioners, you have a duty, a legislative mandate, that our natural resources be maintained and conserved for the present and future generations. Approval of this request has the potential to destroy this creek bottom for all of us, not just during the lifetime of this lease, but forever. And this isn't just about Barnes Creek. The Constitution of Virginia, Article 11 forward, also states that decisions are to be consistent. If you approve this application request knowing what the ultimate plan is for the oyster bottom, this could open the door for similar plans and requests in any creek. As stated earlier, in July of 2011, this commission denied a request to lease 48 acres of bottom in Lloyds Bay because the operation could imperil boaters and upset the tranquility of a nearby neighborhood. This decision today is applicable to the much larger current lease request for Barnes Creek. I will hand this out to you, but I would like to go over a summary of concerns.
Be as quick as you can, Ms. Hall.
Okay.
We've got others to hear from.
Okay. We're very concerned about safety and liability issues regarding the recreational uses. Mike, if you stand on Mike Croxton's dock, you can see the numerous kayakers paddling to and from Barnes Creek. We're concerned about the duck hunting that is so popular in this creek that is surrounded by ideal habitat. We're concerned about conflicts that could arise between the hunters and the oyster boats that are competing for the same location. With the number of cages, we're concerned with the number of cages, their size and location that we don't know where they're going to be, that might be allowed on 250 acres. We're concerned that this could eliminate all other uses in the creek. We're concerned about how, where, and how often the cages and bags would be cleaned. And cages located anywhere in Barnes Creek, but especially near the mouth, are a disaster waiting to happen because of the significant wave action. And who would be responsible if cages were dislodged and damaged personal property? We're concerned about the navigation hazard. We're concerned about the our tranquil creek near the conservation zoned area that will be forever destroyed. We'd like to know the kinds of traditional methods of oystering that would be done. We're concerned about the size and kind of equipment that will be used. Where will the work boats be docked? How many will there be and how big? And I've mentioned about them working in the channel area. How many months of the year would the ground be worked? And would only the triploid oysters be used? Would this be strictly a put-and-take operation? Quite simply, this is the wrong location for such a large-scale oyster operation. The aquaculture is a great endeavor, but this location is on questionable bottom, and it should be denied. And it should be denied because it is consistent with previous VMRC decisions because of the navigational risk and dangers. It would change forever the quality of life. It is not for the sole purpose of raising oysters. It threatens to destroy Barnes Creek state-owned bottom. And the long-term benefits would only be for Bluff Point Holdings Development Company. Thank you. And I do have
a question.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman. You spoke about crab pots or peeler pots in one of the letters that you handed us. Can you describe what size boats are coming in out of the creek for these skiffs? Given the shallow depth at the entrance, are there any larger boats?
Well, the Carolina skiff, actually it's one of the smaller Carolina skiffs that is used to fish the peeler traps by the Croxtons. I don't know whether it's like 14, maybe it's not your 21-foot boat or anything.
So these are shallow draft boats that are used in the creek?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
thank you.
Other question, Mr. Schick.
Yeah, since you have such a good history of the area, I noticed that there are other leases primarily held by two other folks, Proctor and Pearson. Are they currently using those leases, and have they been productive grounds? And if so, how are those leases different than this area?
I cannot speak for the Pearson lease. Proctor, Steve Proctor, is my cousin. And I do know that he has just planted fat on shell on his leases in Barnes Creek. And I don't know a whole lot more than that, but I know that he is using them. I know that he actually planted 100 bushels, but he actually planted them on his shore that is up in the creek farther, because he has already stated that this other shore, his is that piece right in the middle,
mm-hmm.
that little rectangle, that it is silting over.
Oh. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Thank you, Ms. Hall. Anyone else? Is this the last speaker? Apparently so. Come on.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the Commission. I'm Peggy Sanner. I think I've been referred to as Margaret Sanner in the brief. I answer both names. I'm Chesapeake Bay Foundation's Senior Virginia Counsel. Thank you for the opportunity to speak here today in opposition to this application. I think many of you know Chesapeake Bay Foundation fully supports appropriate oyster restoration and aquaculture. I won't get into the full list of activities we do. Just mention, we train oyster gardeners. It's possible some of the colleagues that we've heard from today actually are using our methods or have been educated by us. We have our own operations to help stock sanctuary reefs using spat on shell. And we demonstrate oyster aquaculture to watermen who are interested in diversification. We try to help decision makers become educated about these processes and about water quality in general. So we're committed. We are committed to the restoration of the oyster industry in this watershed, but we don't believe this is an appropriate application to grant. There's been some discussion about concerns we raised earlier about the eligibility of this applicant. I'll tell you, this is how the question came to my attention. I was looking at a website. It's the Bluff Point Holdings LLC website, and I think at a certain point we sent a screenshot to the staff, perhaps it's in your packet. That web page provided a comment said to be from Mr. Dingledean, in which he described, and I'm not quoting right now, but the language was very clear, Bluff Point Holdings LLC is a company formed for real estate development, to develop this upland project that I'm not bringing to you today for consideration. That's what he said his company was for. He told you today he's the sole manager and owner member, so I think he's entitled to know what the company does and what its purpose is. That, to me, does not jive with the description that the statute requires. I'll just refresh your memory for a second. It says specified individuals and specified businesses that are formed for the purpose of oyster culture and the oyster business. Now, I know this is an old statute. I know you've seen it many times before. But our position is this. While on the one hand, Bluff Point urges an expansive reading of that language, general purposes in the statute, apparently an amended charter we haven't seen, an affidavit, all these things say it's among the purposes of our business. I don't quarrel with what their charter says. I haven't seen it. I'm sure they represented it accurately. My point is, this is an oyster lease, as you all know, and as probably you've seen this old case, Darling versus City of Newport News, an oyster lease is in the public trust. That is to say, it is granting from the public trust to a private right. And that is a grant which is in derogation of the public interest, and it must be construed narrowly. It's my position that that means that when we look at that statute, what we need to do is to take it at its straight meaning. What do its words say? And its words say that if you're going to have an oyster lease, you need to be a company that's formed for that purpose. Based on what we've heard today and evidence that I've seen, I don't think it can be said that this is a corporation or business formed for that purpose, and I don't think it's eligible. I do know, as was stated today, that businesses have multiple purposes that currently hold oyster leases. I'm sure that the commission has a great deal of discretion in implementing that statute. But I submit to you that what we're talking about today is much farther away from what the General Assembly meant back when it passed the statute. And I would recommend that you reconsider any thinking and inclination to considering that Bluff Point Holdings is eligible. Even if you conclude that Bluff Point Holdings is eligible to get an oyster lease, we recommend that you not do it. And the reason is, brought to my attention by looking at the oyster lease use plan questionnaire that was submitted by Bluff Point Holdings, signed by Sharon Sharp. And I'm not sure if this was, this is dated 2011, so in connection with this application, you all know this has a number of questions. One of them is, are any other uses, that is, in addition to oysters, fat on shell, structures on the bottom, and so forth, are there any other uses proposed for this oyster lease area? The answer to that question was no. And based on the evidence that I've seen, that we've submitted to the staff, I think that you've seen, that's an incorrect answer. It's incorrect because Bluff Point Holdings, LLC, in filings made of record in the public, it has said it intends that oyster lease area to be used for the channel, which will have to be excavated, some 90,000 cubic feet of soil, silt from the channel itself, and 91,000, I think I got those numbers right, from the shoal area at the mouth. That channel will have to be dug. I know it will come before this commission at a later point. My point is, the answer was given incorrectly in terms of what the uses are intended for the lease area. And if you take into consideration what we know are the intended uses by this applicant, you see there are two that are, from my perspective, in conflict. Okay, why does that matter? It matters because, as you know, an oyster lease is to be given for a single purpose, and that's oyster propagation. That's in the statute. I think you know 28.2603. The code says they must be occupied for the purpose of planting or propagating oysters. The Supreme Court has gone much farther than that. Again, Darling versus City of Newport News, oyster leases may be made, and now I'm quoting, only for the purpose of planting and propagating oysters thereon, and it is for this purpose alone that the planter is authorized to use and occupy such ground. The court goes on and says that a leaseholder cannot use the property for any other purpose except for that stated in the statute. Again, I recognize you have a measure of discretion in implementing this, but I think what we're talking about here, both in terms of the entity that wants this operation and in terms of the uses that it intends now and is pursuing now for this operation, it is far beyond what has been intended by the legislature and blessed by the Supreme Court. Right. Therefore, we respectfully disagree with the staff recommendation, and we respectfully ask the commission to deny the application. One last point. If, despite all you've heard this afternoon, you should conclude that it's appropriate to grant this request, we would ask you to bear this afternoon and this information in mind so that next year or the year after, whenever it is that Mr. Dingledean and his company come to you again and say, I have an application here for another use that needs your blessing for the use of the bottomlands in this oyster lease area, you say to him or his colleagues, you know, and his lawyer invited you to do that today, please take him up on that. Where are the oysters? What have you done with this public trust that we have given to you? How can you, holding this piece of the public trust for your own interest, now go forward and ask to cut a channel and use it for another purpose? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Plumlee, stand by for a question.
Ms. Sander, do you have any evidence that you wanted to submit demonstrating that the corporation had some other intended purpose that had been on file either with the State Corporation Commission or some other agency?
Again, I accept Mr. Dingledean and his colleagues at their word when they say that they've amended their charter. My point is simply the evidence that he put on his website saying the purpose of Bluff Point Holdings, LLC, is, and again, whatever the words were, real estate development for the building of this upland project here. So I think it's beyond what the statute recommended.
And also for other intended purposes, did you have any documentation that you wanted to submit where it indicated that they have another intended purpose with regards to the dredging?
Yes, thank you. In fact, I am aware that in the file that the staff had, there's a copy of the feasibility study. That's a study which was submitted, as my understanding, by Mr. Dingledean and Bluff Point Holdings, LLC, to the County of Northumberland as they considered the project at the time of the application for planned unit development. That's what I'm looking for. So it's been filed as a matter of record, and I have an incomplete copy here, but if the commission would like an additional copy, I'm happy to provide the commission members.
I think we have a portion of it in 4-26 through 31.
And I believe I can direct your attention particularly to page 43 of that feasibility study, which summarizes some of the information that I was quoting from. I think that's right. Yes, there is a summary. And
can you tell me the page again?
Absolutely.
I don't see it. 43. Is it 4-3?
No, it's not. It's 43, and the title of the document is preliminary marina feasibility and concept design, Bluff Point, Virginia, November 2009.
Do you have it? No. Anyone have that? I don't see it in my material.
And I would be very happy to give this whole set, which I represent, I obtained from commission staff on Wednesday, to the commission for consideration or a piece of it as you wish.
If you have it.
Sure.
You haven't. Is this what she's referring to? She said 43.
Yeah. I'm not finding that.
You don't have to. Ours aren't.
And do we have any portion of that in our?
This is, let's see, just want to make sure I get all of it. This is what I copied from what was in the commission staff on Friday, and it has the title I read a moment ago, and I'd be happy to pass it up. Again, page 43 is the page titled Summary with some of those statistics.
Okay, good. Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank very you
very much. Mr. Breeden, you have an opportunity to respond to comments.
The different document?
In terms of uses, the navigational uses that have been talked about by my neighbors, the recreational uses, I will be more than happy to work with the commission and staff to say, you know, let's create part of this. I mean, we don't have a channel as we do in the prior application. Be more than happy to identify areas that could be a channel set aside for recreational use, including some of the existing leases that I have. I've worked with the neighbors in, again, I know this is off, but in the development in terms of immediately adjacent neighbors, we met with them. They asked to be able to tie into our water system should the project go forward. I said, sure. You know, I was going to pay for them to put in their septic systems to take them off of the septic system because of concerns about leaching into Barnes Creek. I'm more than happy to work with them in any capacity whatsoever. Boating, I take a 26-foot boat in there, not all the time. About 5 weeks ago, I went out at low tide. I measured it the day 2 days ago as I was on my lift figuring out the depth I had to get it in, and it draws 26 inches of water. It changes, as was stated, you know, sometimes it's a foot in a very low and negative tide. I've taken a 35-foot boat in there on a high tide, but I don't want when I spoke with Mr. Croxton, the waterman from whom I purchased the leases, I've lost two fortunes in here already. One was to disease, and the other was to raise. He says, I'm too old to do it now. And I believe that was the time. So, I mean, I don't know where the truth lies. I'm just communicating. I'll be happy to answer any other questions, but I don't
know. Any final questions? Mr. Plumlee and Mr. Robbins.
Why such a large area that you for the this proposed lease grounds? Why does it need to be 250 acres?
Rather than trying to go back and look at different areas, as has been stated, there are different water conditions within there, different depths, and some depths are suitable for different operations. As you get into the deeper depths, you'd be looking at shell. The other would be cages. You know, we'd have to come back for any floats. So to provide a variety of settings.
So it's not your intent necessarily to place cages throughout the 250 acres?
No. I mean, I can't block navigational waters. I use them personally. I mean, I have a house, on the other side of Barnes Creek. I take my boat up there. You know, not all the time, not as much as my neighbors do. I mean, they're going in and out. When I'm there without my boat, you know, I see them going in and out.
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have heard concerns today that relate to potential interference with navigation and public safety as it relates to that. Clearly, the mouth of the creek is potentially a very shallow area, and I'm thinking of potential conflicts, I guess, with caged aquaculture. So if the commission were to consider delimiting those areas where caged aquaculture could be utilized. Are there areas within the proposed lease that you have assessed and considered for the use of caged aquaculture versus other methods?
There are, yeah. I mean, on different sides of Barnes Creek, again, you know, as I go in and out of the creek, the channel does change. It is a very hard bottom. As we have taken samples, we used a grab. We couldn't even pull samples with about a 10-pound grab off the bottom in those areas. So I'm willing to work with all interested parties.
Mr. Tanker?
And I'm anxious to work with all interested parties. It's more than a willingness.
Thank you.
Do you or Buffalo Point Holdings have any experience with aquaculture at this point? I mean, this is a rather large person for an inexperienced.
Well, that's right. And whether good or bad, you're seeing part of my personality, that I will undertake things that I believe in. You know, my mailing address and mail still goes to Charlottesville. I spend most of my time on the water in Matthews County. You know, I cherish the bay. I don't know how to really describe myself. Maybe a pragmatic environmentalist. I put 700 acres under conservation easement with the Nature Conservancy in Albemarle County. I'm presently working with the County of Albemarle to give them a 100-acre park on the Ravanna River. I mean, that staff and Albemarle County attorneys are currently working on that. That's present right now. It was set up maybe 8 years or so ago. You know, acknowledge human use and say how do we meld the two. It's a challenge. I wanted to put in a desal plant, you know, met with DEQ and with others, and they said, no, we don't want to put in a desal plant. Groundwater is an issue. I mean, this is just the way in terms of working with different entities. And
thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Breeden?
Yes, very briefly. One of the things that's come up about the shallow mouth, anybody that's ever been in the oyster business knows that a bar across a body of water like that is wonderful. Why? Keeps the cow rays out. The mouth, Taylor's Creek has always been a productive oyster area in Lancaster County. One of the reasons is it's got a bar across and the cow rays are scared to get up in there. They don't know how to get out. Anybody that's been in the oyster business will tell you that. Quickly, Ms. Hall gave you a lot of stuff. But if you look at her letter of August 9, there are two sides to her story. She says, very shallow Barnes Creek has a long history of oyster cultivation. You would think it was a mudflat if you listened to her here today. My family has a long history of commercially raising oysters in Barnes, Dividing, and Jarvis Creek. My cousin, Stephen Proctor, a licensed commercial waterman, is carrying on this family tradition in Dividing and Barnes Creek, where he maintains oyster leases. It once belonged to his cousin, R.H.D. Hall, Jr. This lease right there is Mr. Proctor's, right in the middle of this. And what does she go on to say? He's reseeding his Dividing Creek lease with spat on shell and plans to do the same in Barnes Creek. So there are two sides to this, and I thought I ought to call that to your attention. I will conclude by saying, I've watched disputes between people coming to Tidewater, the Northern Neck, and the Middle Peninsula, and people come down and they put a I call this the John Barber syndrome, and I'll be through. They put a John Barber print in their den, and it has some oystermen out in a workboat working them. But let an oysterman get up in the creek in front of their place, and it's interfering with kayaks and tubing and so forth. We've got to live together, and I can tell you, in the 43 years I've been practicing law, I've never seen a lawsuit except one involving a commercial waterman and a recreational boater. And that was one time when a crabber was coming out of Carter's Creek and he had a crab pot so high up on his boat he couldn't see anything and he ran into a sailboat. That's one time. People respect each other on the water, and there's no way that what is proposed here is, and there's no evidence that it will interfere with kayaking or crabs migrating. Those are myths, and this is a good project, and there was a good question why Mr. Dingledean, who doesn't have a lot of experience, is involved with this. That's why he's got people like Kenneth Smith working with him, who's bringing other people. He's certainly going to need expertise, and the only people I know that are experts in the oyster business are oystermen, and usually they're second or third generation. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lane.
Mr. Chairman, I'm concerned with the sheer magnitude of this proposal, 250 acres from point to point all the way across the waterways. I think the people that use this for recreation have a reasonable expectation to be able to navigate through their unobstructed. I take a lot more lenient view of it if the applicant had had clear areas through which people could navigate, mark those clear areas. I just think it's too much. It's just too big a project to encompass the whole of Barnes Creek with this thing. So I think it's just too big.
Thank you. Mr. Fox.
I have a couple questions for Mr. Stagg, if that's all right.
Absolutely.
Ben, in relation to the last comment that you just heard, do we have a practice or a procedure for renting or not renting a high percentage of a creek or small body of water to one person?
We do not. The law says the maximum amount that can be applied for in a single application is 250 acres. That's really the only restriction as far as...
Okay. And I guess in the United States, we all have the right to go into business and go broke, but we don't. When we look at an applicant, we don't look at the person's capability of whether they're able to, whether they have knowledge in the business or not.
Well, I think we consider it, but I mean, the applicant has indicated in all the questions we've asked and the documentation he's provided that he intends to use the ground to propagate shellfish. Like I say, that questionnaire is not whether the answer is yes or no to on bottom or cage does not mean he has to do what he said. He just has to use the ground in some manner to propagate shellfish. We ask those questions because of cases like this one, so the public has a better understanding of what the person at least says they're going to attempt to do.
And we don't consider the condition of the bottom when we are.
Well, we do.
We do.
And staff does have some concerns with the lower portion of this, with the fetch. It is, in some characteristics, similar to the Oyster Company of Virginia lease that had a large fetch, and it's a sandy area. However, there's a lease to the northeast that is more exposed to this one. It's 250 acres, and we leased it. Now, whether the guy's ever going to be successful using it is an open question. It was not objected to at the time, but you have another lease immediate that's adjacent to this Bluff Point property, just to the northeast.
Now, do we have a restriction on the depth of the water where cages are placed?
We have a regulation related to the up to 12-inch cages, which does not have a water depth restriction, but it has navigation. It cannot create a hazard to navigation. How that's interpreted, you know, is it a hazard to navigation to kayaks or is it a hazard to navigation to motorboats? But we do require, when you want to use areas within a lease for cage aquaculture, that you do mark the area within the lease where the cages are going and that you submit a marking plan to the engineering surveying department for pre-approval before they're deployed so we can evaluate. Is this area of the lease appropriate to put these types of structures versus the traditional on bottom? And then we can tell the applicant, we don't believe you should put them here. You can't under the regulation, or you can, or you have to leave fairways. Well, we will work with them, but that is part of the regulation related to the up to 12-inch on a lease cage aquaculture.
But they have to have the lease first before that.
Otherwise, it would be a joint permit application for the
right.
Structures on the bottom.
And those cages that do not require a further permit cannot be individually marked, correct?
That's correct.
The area they're in,
long line them,
is marked with your approval.
The boundary, and you're supposed to mark the area so that it's some notice to people that there are obstructions here that you might want to avoid.
And any use of cages larger than 12 inches in height from the bottom would require yet another permit from the agency and another public interest review, public hearing.
Separate permit for on a lease more than 12 inches through the fisheries department that has its own public interest review requirements and marking requirements. Floats require a separate permit no matter what.
One of the questions that the opponents to the project have, or the suggestion, is that somehow by getting approval for the lease, that the board is then somehow compromised in its review of the proposed dredge for the upland development. And I can't think of any reason why that would in fact be. Is that something that...
Well, as I noted earlier in my evaluation, any dredging and or marina combination would require public interest review. And you would think it would not behoove someone, if they're leasing the ground for oyster ground, that they would do something that would cause an additional closure of oyster ground, of their own oyster ground. Now, the other option with this lease is, if it's granted, and if the applicant or someone else comes back and wants to dredge a channel through here, you know, if they're not the applicant, then they may object to dredging through their ground. That's certainly a oyster company's right. If it is the applicant that has the ground, they could abandon the part of the lease.
So the point is
the channel and have it resurveyed and just it no longer is part of the lease.
So the advantage would be to prevent others from leasing the ground to contest any proposed dredge. That's
certainly been
suggestion.
An argument of why this was applied.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Yes, Mr. Shaker.
But don't we have provisions in the lease that says that people can apply to dredge a channel through? I mean, so a leaseholder's objection to somebody with a dredging project through their oyster grounds is not grounds for us not to to give a
protested project's going to end up before this body to deliberate the benefit versus the detriment,
right?
And how germane the protest is to what's being asked.
It's not a determinate
objection.
It's just an objection. Might come from
that opinion. Where it says that these grounds are to be used for the propagation of shellfish only, is the person asking in a future date to dredge through that their own lease, is that an additional use? Is that considered a use that's another use?
I might defer that question to your legal counsel. However, I will quote Mark Brown, which is probably a rare thing of me, but oysters don't know where the channel is.
Right.
So if it's dredged through here and oysters propagate back into the channel, they're still growing oysters on their lease.
Please don't tell Mark Brown you quoted
him. It's going out on the Internet. I don't think we can stop that right now.
Did you want to comment?
Yeah, would you like to comment on is this considered any other use under the...
questionnaire.
Well, first of all, I would say that we have to engage in some level, the commission would have to engage in some level of speculation at this point that he may dredge a channel is some other use. Because that's, as far as I know, that's not actively before the body. That's something that somebody's asking us to consider as potentiality. But even so, it's my opinion that it would not be an other use. It's Mr. Stagg has already addressed that in the sense that you can do a carve-out. Oysters don't know where the channel are. They're Mr. Brown's second hit today. I know. I'm sorry, Commissioner. I couldn't resist. So, you know, arguably it's still being used for the propagation of oysters. No, I don't think that is appropriate. One other thing I will say is that while I was sitting here with my awesome iPad, I looked at Bluff Point LLC's website, and in their plan submitted to Northumberland County Board of Supervisors, they specifically note that they want to use Bluff Point as oyster lease and oyster culture. So it was on their website. But with that, is there anything else? Any other questions? Yes, sir.
One more question of counsel, and that is, you know, we did hear some discussion about the purpose for which the corporation was formed or the LLC. So I just wanted to ask for the record If a corporation or LLC or other legal entity has multiple purposes, does that in any way foreclose them from having standing as an applicant on an oyster lease?
In my opinion, that is not. First of all, I'd like to go back to the case that counsel for the Chesapeake Bay Foundation cited, being Darling versus Newport News. I looked that up while we were sitting here, too. And the case stands for the proposition that the grant of a public trust is narrowly construed. It's not a principle of statutory interpretation. We're talking about 28.2-604 here. And that's what gives the commission the authority to grant. It's what's granted through 28.2-604 that's narrowly construed, not the statute itself. And then we get back to, and I did research this a lot earlier when this first came through, and I remember reviewing it in light of the Chesapeake Bay Foundation's letter. And while I won't go through the case law and the strict analysis, the principles of statutory interpretation don't even apply here, because we can just look at the plain language of the statute. And the plain language of the statute says that it's a company formed for the purpose of, not solely for the purpose of or exclusively for the purpose of, but for the purpose of. And I believe that the purpose of the intent of the General Assembly is that, if backing up, businesses all the time incorporate and do many things. As a matter of fact, corporate charters have gotten so broad now that it's just for any legal purpose, as I believe Bluff Point was chartered under initially, which is valid. But does that mean that they're foreclosed from engaging in oyster culture operations or shellfish operations? I'm not aware of any law in Virginia that requires somebody to specifically say, this is what I'm going to do with my corporation, and that's that, and I need that mantle to be able to engage in oyster culture operations. I believe Bluff Point wanted a step further and added that to their charter, but I'm not aware. It's my opinion that the statute is not limited to companies that are solely and exclusively chartered for the purpose of shellfish propagation.
Thank you.
Mr. Robbins.
Just, I had a follow-up question for Ben, if I could. So just looking at the photographs and what we've heard today, I mean, it sounds like the mouth is very shallow, and so if we were considering the fact that if we approve the lease, that could be used potentially for cage-on-bottom aquaculture, what pathways forward could the commission take to limit, to further limit the scale of the lease? Or, you know, if we wanted to carve out certain areas and say these areas would not be allowed for caged aquaculture, is that something we could do at this point? Is that something that would require an amended application? Or is that something you'd have to do administratively when you consult with the applicant after a permit was issued?
Typically, I would say it was the last state. Certainly, the commission has the authority to do whatever you want today for any part of the city. How we do that is kind of minutia kind of thing, you know, right now while it's pending. Your option is to not lease some of that area that's so shallow. Could be problematic. No. The only mechanism I'm aware of that we've historically used is for them to come to us with their plan, and unfortunately I'm the guy at the moment that looks at those, and certainly I will consult with my superiors and even the commissioner. I think it gets to that level that we need to do something. I guess we could bring it back to the commission. We've never done that. I've approved a number of plans within leases for cages to mark areas, and so far, you know, we haven't had any complaints. We've had complaints about people doing it without a marking plan, and then we had to make them come in and do that, and I've made them alter. No, you can't put them here. You can't mark them like this. But we're kind of in new territory if we're going to try to do that as part of approving the lease without just altering the lease, excluding areas of lease that you're not going to lease, which is kind of what you did with the Orchard Company of Virginia. Two applications. You approved the one in Lloyds Bay, but you didn't approve the one in the area where it was shallow and was used for recreation. You didn't approve any of them.
Right. Mr. Tanker.
Yes, sir. You had one. You had mentioned there was another 250-acre piece that we had let out. And was that in any way similar to this and that it's like a cove?
No, it's right here.
So it's right in the open bay.
Right.
No.
It's really open.
Right.
Out here, but I think you're right.
Right. In the back. Okay. All right. So I would like to make a point and see if you concur with this. You know, what I have seen, you know, Asian Shores has been pretty much the epicenter of aquaculture for the last two decades. And my experience has been with it all those decades. And what I have seen with the guys with cages is they either are going to take them up when we've got a hurricane coming, because those things will tumble as the surge pushes up into a creek. They're going to tumble up, and then they're going to all tumble back. And when they tumble back, it's even more forceful because they get all jumbled together. So if we tumble back, they're all going to tumble back on top of that sandbar. And what are we going to have?
Yes.
We're going to have a sandbar with cages all over top of it, with sand all over top of the cages. We're not going to have even a foot of water there. I'm very ambivalent. No, I'm not ambivalent. I am scared of seeing aquaculture be pinned incompetent, because we will have people engaging in this industry who don't have any idea of what they're doing. And that incompetence will lead to problems for all the people who have lived there for the last couple of decades and years. I think this is, as Mr. Lane said, 250 acres for somebody who doesn't has no history in this thing is, I think, somewhat preposterous.
Mr. Chick.
I do have a lot of concerns with this project, many of them the citizens of that area brought up. I don't know that these concerns warrant the not allowing a lease in part or in whole as he's requested. But I think they do need to be addressed. Some of them, you know, we have addressed as far as navigation issues and I mean, any person who is going to be responsible for a business is going to take the precautions for hurricanes to take up their oyster cages and things like that. Unfortunately, we can't pick and choose who's going to be a good business person and who's not going to be a good business person and take care of their, you know, their investment. So I think that's out of our purview of being able to give this lease to someone or not. But it does seem like an awfully large chunk of land to give somebody, and it hasn't proven that they'll be able to use it. And 10 years is a long time to give it to somebody that, you know, may or may not be able to use it. But again, I don't know that we can not give him the lease, you know, because of those reasons. But I bring them up because they are my concerns.
Mr. Fox?
Ben, the other 250 acres that you spoke about, is it out here in open water?
Yes.
So it's not a creek constriction issue on that other lease at all?
I don't know why. I can't say why it wasn't protested. There's really no development along the shoreline right there where it was applied. So it wasn't like it was somebody's backyard, so to speak. There aren't houses along that shoreline. But it's very exposed.
Mr. Plumlee?
Go ahead.
I have no more questions for Mr. Stagg. I don't know if we're ready to discuss anything, if we're done with witnesses, but I did just want to make a comment for the rest of the commission that I'm in agreement with Mr. Tankard about this project, I think, and Mr. Lane, that I'm not considering at all the dredging, and I'm not considering at all the development. I don't think they're pertinent, and I'm not at all concerned about what's going to come before us later and what's presented and who objects, who doesn't object. I mean, we're a competent body. We can hear it then when it comes up. But I do worry about the fetch. I do worry about the size of this lease. I wish there was an alternative presented to consider that carved it out with more particularity about where we could expect some real activity for oystering in this lease area. But as it's submitted, I can't support it.
because I do think it's too large and impacts too large of an area. So that's my perspective.
Mr. Fox?
I'll just throw up an alternative. If we could lease right across the point to the north, going right across here, going across the point of Mr. Proctor's lease, and not lease this part, which is subject to the fetch and perhaps more vulnerable to wave attack. But that would give Bluff Point Holdings some opportunity to work oysters in what, presumably from what Ms. Hall says, was a historically better place to do oysters. Now, I don't know whether that's an acceptable alternative, but that...
The applicant has agreed just now that he is amenable to some alteration of smaller size, so...
Like, you want to offer any details on that, Mr. Dingley?
Part of it goes to my earlier comment in terms of working with the neighbors. I mean, they navigate those waters more than I do in terms of, and they, you know, use them for very other recreational purposes. I kayak them as well myself. So working with them to do a carve-out that we protect, you know, for public enjoyment and public use. Some of the areas on the bay side of the acreage, you know, I'd like to keep some of those because we get into deeper water there. I mean, it's not 20 feet deep. You know, it's 10, maybe 15 feet. You know, I have not gone out and surveyed those depths. I know it's about 10 at mean low.
Let me ask you, are you prepared today to offer a smaller area? Show us where you want the lines or...
No, I'd like to work with staff. I mean, I'm prepared to, you know, say let's carve it down to X number of acreage.
Is that something you could do this afternoon, or is that something you want more time to do?
I can do this afternoon.
All right. What I would suggest is an old trick Bill Pruitt used to use. Is send the thanks. Mr. Robbins just whispered in my ear that old trick, but to send staff and the applicant in the room next door to see if you can't work something out while we take up other agenda items. And then come back to us.
To protect them for the uses for which there have been objections.
All right. If you're willing to do that, I think staff would be willing to work with you. So we'll recess from this item and hold it in abeyance until you come back.
One of the uses is for navigational purpose. Would it be appropriate at some point in time to bring in one of my neighbors who goes
you
in
can,
and out of
you can
body.
Take in that room whoever you want.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to get a group, but...
I understand,
know.
Yeah.
So, but.
All right, with that, we're gonna move on. And we'll come back to this issue, hopefully, momentarily.